You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Biscuit. That is a class move hooking DJ Lou up with Pearl Jam tickets at Madison Square Garden. Nice! But Lou, you know I love you, brother. So small piece of advice here. In the future, you may not want a voice, and especially so enthusiastically, one, that you've been in Utah, and two, that you enjoy another man's sweat pouring down on you. Next time, just grab a pen and, like, journal that shit. And Petey, I said you'd last 40 seconds in prison. You'd only make it 20 in the mob kit. Plus, you'd end up having one of like the lamest mob nicknames ever. It'd be something like Pigeon-Toed Pete or Petey the Wig, fucking Cat's Meow Corielli. Trust me, nobody's going to allow themselves to be shaken down by a fucking guy with a name like that. Oh, shit. Here he comes. You better pay up. It's the fridge fucker. It just wouldn't happen. So let's just thank baby Jesus that you're funny, huh, kid? Later.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hopping, Easter's on its way.
Welcome to the best of Pete and Sebastian. There are so many great bits in here that DJ Lou worked really hard on. Happy Easter and God bless Gary Shandling. See you next week.
Hippity hoppity, happy Easter day. Hippity hoppity, happy Easter day.
I've noticed I go out a lot, maybe go to dinner, maybe drinks with friends and whatnot, and when the drinks come,
yeah,
I don't have a good toast.
Oh, really?
Do you have toasts that you have in the back of your pocket where if you were at a wedding or a function, you could stand up? And this goes along a little bit with our manarios,
right?
That a man,
yes,
should have a toast in his back pocket that he could use at any given time.
I have a technique, not a toast, in the sense that I don't do one of those, here's to honor. You know, ever hear the college one?
Yeah, yeah, you don't do that.
No, man, no.
What's the technique?
My technique is, if I'm about to do a toast, I do a mental note of if anybody lost somebody dear to them recently. I do a mental note if anybody got big news, baby, promotion, blah, blah, blah. And if any of those things are on there, I say those individually. If not, I just give a all. We're all lucky to be together here. And, you know, I give a toast for the fact that we're all here safe, having a good time.
But
how do you fuck up a toast? It's the easiest thing to do. Bang out a toast right now. Pretend you and I right now just got the call from Judy that we got the fucking Travel Channel deal. And we just cracked open some champagne. We're at my house. I'm like, bro, this is sick. Nice. I pour. Toast this up, bro.
May your house never be too big for all your friends.
What does my house have to do with the moment, dude? It's about the deal we just got with Travel Channel. You don't even stick to the topic. The toast should be about the... And it's not even my house. It's a bungalow, and I'm half-packed moving back to New York. Do I care about this place?
It's a general, like...
And that's what makes it terrible. That's what makes it terrible. It makes us think you don't put any thought into the moment, and what you do is what you do a lot. You stay cautious. Let me have a line, and I know my line's not offensive because I rehearsed it and worked it. No. Moment, bro.
Well, that's what I went, and I wrote down toasts for some different occasions from the internet that I think people should possibly have.
All right, well,
you could add your own to it.
Give me an occasion, I'll do my toast, and then you tell me what you think you should do.
Here's the occasion.
All right.
We're at my wedding.
Okay.
Right? Comes to you. Pete, got anything to say about Sebastian and Lana?
Oh, man, I have so much to say. Unfortunately, there's not enough time, but let me just start by saying there were a few things I enjoyed when I got out to L.A., but Lana and Sebastian made it really hard to want to leave. I mean, I wish them nothing but health and happiness, and everyone in this room for that matter.
It's fucking great.
That's fucking, because I just felt it, bro.
That's good.
What are you going? Good.
Where am I going?
Yeah, what's your... That,
my toast to the people that are there?
Yeah, what's how about this? That? How about that? You want to... How about a toast to the father-in-law and the family?
I have to say thank you all for being here today. This is such a great experience for me and Lana. In particular, Scott, who...
What, are you winning an Emmy? Who's Scott? The producer?
That's the father-in-law.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know his name yet. I was like, what is this guy who owns the banquet hall? I mean, you don't even have a moment where you go, Scott, or do I say dad, or do I say, I don't know. It's all exciting. I mean, you got to be funny. You're a comedian.
Well, this is why I was pining on this, because I'm going to have to give some toasts at the rehearsal dinner. And I don't know. I don't do well with just... I think I have to write shit down.
I hear you. Now, that's the way you roll,
did
man.
Did you write stuff down at your wedding? I don't want to be reading off like a piece of paper going, hold on one second, I got another line.
Right.
I mean, I want to have it kind of memorized,
right.
But I need it to be worked out before I start getting into it.
Don't remember the lines. Yeah. Remember the points. Your point is, I want to toast Scott. I want to toast my beautiful wife. I want to toast my new mother-in-law. And I want to toast everyone for being here. And then trust, as long as you know those bullet points...
Whatever comes out, yeah. No, I get it.
That's not how you roll. Give us another scenario. I do the Scott one. I'm sorry, I cut you off. I'm here. I got my drink. I might come just for the toasts.
Yeah, well, I might just give you just live streaming on the toasts. I'd like to thank my new father-in-law, Scott. See, this is, I'm fucking up already.
You don't even need new. Why do you need new? Did you have an old one?
Well, he's new.
We all know he's new. That's why we're here.
I need the page, man. I need the fucking page. Oh, man. I got a couple down here for the mother-in-law. But these are like things I want to incorporate in my speech.
Right.
Like here.
Now you're giving a speech? It's a toast.
Well, no, I got to give a speech. As a groom, I got to give a speech, right?
A toast. It's called a toast. What do you mean? Well, when do you think you give a speech?
Like before dinner.
Okay.
Is served. I'm going to stand up, thank probably my mother, my father, her mother, her father. At the end, I might, let's raise our glasses and drink to whatever.
Okay.
But I have to give, I'm thinking, 4 or 5 minutes.
Wow, you're doing a Letterman set?
I'm doing a monologue.
You're doing
to open up the thing, you know? Just this. Didn't you say anything when you had a wedding, or did you just fucking party?
No, don't insult me, bro. Of course I did, but you're scaring me with speech. I did at the dinner rehearsal.
Okay, rehearsal dinner. Okay. I'm going to have to say something.
I gave a little bit of a toast, mostly to my mom and dad, because they paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I did thank everyone coming in a day early, that sort of a thing. And then, obviously, the day of the wedding, I stopped everything at one point. Ding, ding, ding. Grabbed the, you know, I'd just like to say, I really want to thank my father-in-law. I mean, Mike, it's just such a beautiful day and a great day, and we wouldn't be doing any of this if it wasn't for you. And you know, and I just thank you so much for that. I'm so lucky to be a part of your family. And Mom, all the work you've done, I just feel so, you know. But the whole time I got a glass in my hand, and then we drink. And when you go up there with a piece of paper and no glass, people are going to be like, how long is this guy going to be up here?
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
I don't know how the hell I'm going to work this. I got to say
on
something.
On the flip side.
Like your best man. Did you say anything about your best man? Thanks, Frank, for being there. Nothing?
Well, no. Why? What is Frank doing for you? Is he setting anything up?
No, it was more like hey, you know, thanks for nothing. I don't know. It's the first time I've done this.
Did he save your life in the war so that you could come home and be with Lana?
No.
No, he's just drinking for free in fucking Tuscany practically in America. Right? Where are you going again?
Napa.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank, for coming to Napa and getting a great deal on a fucking room and being a part of all this fun stuff. I mean, maybe you'd throw a thank to Frank for the bachelor party.
Well, that's another thing we got to discuss. I don't know what I'm doing for that. Lana's got her thing going, but go ahead.
I was going to say, though, man, you are, on the flip side, very successful, funny comedian. You know, I know at mine, they were hoping I'd say a few things, and you got to throw in a few zingers. Mm-hmm. So for you to do 4.5 minutes, that's not that weird as it would be for a regular guy.
Yeah.
And if it's 4.5 minutes of just heartfelt, get me a pillow. But if you're going to be funny, then yeah, we're
in. We're going to put some funny stuff into this.
Who's
this
we? You got to do right.
My team. Yeah, no, we're going to definitely. I mean, when I hear speech, I'm like you. Forget it. Because nobody knows how to give a speech. A lot of people are very, they're not entertaining.
Right.
So when I get up there 4.5 minutes, it's going to be, people are going to be crying. And then they're going to be crying laughing.
Wow.
So I want to mix those two worlds together. But anyway, I wrote down some stuff here.
Well, this is great. I want to help you with your speech.
No, but these are just like things that I think every man should have. All little right. one-liners in the back pocket. Instead of going, cheers, and then everybody ding, ding, ding. How nice would it be, you're out with a group, some couples,
mm-hmm.
the wine comes, and you stand up and say, to your very good health. May you live as to... Oh, shit.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to memorize this shit.
I'm not saying you got to memorize it.
Well,
I'm
you got to pull it out of your wallet and go, no. Oh, we're doing the wine one. Hold on. Here it is.
You make it sound like you just have this shit. I'm
so
reading
that's
it
memorizing.
The... Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you're reading it off a piece of paper.
But you want to always know these and have them.
Know this one. Here. may you be in heaven 15 minutes before the devil knows you're dead. No, that's not something that you could just whip out. Cheers. And people go, wow, that's nice.
That's a cool one. I like that. But did you just write that?
No. I took this off the internet.
Oh, that's good. But don't you think that's more in a pub with men?
Yeah.
Because you said wine, that's not women around. Be, hey, I hope you sneak into heaven before the devil
yeah,
knows
okay,
you missed
well,
you.
I'm sorry. The scenario would be maybe with the guys.
Yeah, that's a good one to do if you're a cop and you're at the cop bar and, you know, the bad guy got away and it's just another day. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sergeant O'Leary buys you a shot and you're like, may you sneak into heaven 15 minutes before the devil knows you're dead.
See, you're making this very specific. These are general, man. Nobody, we're not police officers.
But then you can't use that when the devil knows you're dead. I've known you for over a year and a half. You never mentioned the devil
it's
ever.
It's a generalization. See, you're getting it. Here's another one.
All right. Give me a scenario behind it. Give me a scenario behind it. I'll give you a scenario and then you pick one of yours, all right? I'll give you a scenario. Here's a scenario, okay? You go over a good friend's house for a barbecue on a Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. He hands you a beer and he goes, you know what? My boy just got into Stanford. He's going to be the third baseman on the baseball team. Got a full ride. I'm so proud. All that hard work. You've come to the games in high school when I had you come, Sebastian. So we're pretty excited. Here, have a beer.
Okay, see, this is where...
Nothing? Why?
These are not... Jesus.
You hit me with the devil one there?
No, this is what I have in front of me. I have about 15 different toasts that I was going to rattle off to you.
Right.
To see if these were good toasts.
For what scenario, though?
These are, okay, like here, like me and you, let's say, are having a drink, like now.
Okay.
And I would say, here's to you, here's to me. The best of friends will ever be. And if we ever disagree, well, fuck you, and here's to me. Like, these are little things that if you whipped out.
Right, right. Yeah, the best friends I'll ever be. I mean, right out of the gate, it's a little...
No, I mean, this is not, like, we're not best friends.
But
we're
whipping
good friends.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But, man, this is, like, unbelievable, man. I'm trying to give people, our listeners, a little education on maybe having a toast in their back pocket. And you're saying that this is not something that you should have in your arsenal? I mean, how could you not?
If
somebody whipped that out, you go, whoa, what the fuck? He's got toasts?
Listen, I like the devil one. That's a good one to have in your bag. That one was good, too.
Right,
I don't know. I'm touched. I'm touched.
Right, maybe some aren't for you.
Yeah, but I mean, what about feeling in the moment? I mean...
Yeah, there's a moment, toast. I'm just saying.
So these are just when two guys are going to have a
two
beer.
Two guys, maybe a group.
All right, I got
you're
it.
You're at dinner.
Just for random, no reason. We're not toasting anything in particular.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like your son has got a scholarship at Stanford.
I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. I'm with you. I'll throw one out. A random one. Yeah. I'm just making up here. All right? I'll just say something like this. You know, when Jack, like, let's say someone goes, just fucking toast something.
Yeah.
Well, here's to a cold beer. Let's all hope it's not our last or even close to it, huh? Right, a little something? A little something?
I don't know.
No, well, I mean, at least it came from here, man. I mean,
yeah,
devil wears Prada or something.
Well, the giggle at the end was weird.
Well, that's to let them know it was a joke. It was a bad one, but we should all be laughing. All right, what do you got?
All right, here's one. Hey, just one to start off. And these are cheesy, some of them, but I'm just saying you could put your own spin.
I don't know what you're saying, because now you're saying they're not even good. Now we're not even.
They're little starters.
Okay.
They're starters.
All right.
Okay, I get up.
Okay.
Could be a group of people. Got my hand, I got the wine up. Wise, kind, gentle, generous, sexy, long.
Getting long.
See?
I'm sorry.
That's where I'm leading you.
One more time. I'm so sorry. From the top.
Wise, kind, gentle, generous, sexy. But enough about me. Here's to you. Come on. No, something? I don't know, man.
I think I've seen that on a t-shirt at the mall.
Yeah, I'm just saying. These are little starters. Here's one to my mother.
Okay.
This could be at the wedding.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we're...
And Ma. All right.
Ma, here's to the happiest hours of my life, spent in the arms of another man's wife, my mother.
Wow.
No?
First of all, you're kind of implying that you enjoyed being in the arms of your mother growing up more than you enjoy being in the arms of your new bride. The happiest days of my life spent in the arms of another man's wife.
Okay, that could be construed as that.
I think Lana would be like, oh, this is good. This is good. Yeah. And I'm going to be fighting with the attention of his mother for this.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
All right, we got to nix that one off.
A little insulting to your old man, too, on top of that.
I mean, God, you're ripping these to shreds.
Because, I mean, can you just, right now, bro, just rattle something off of your mom? I'm your mother. Oh, that's a...
It's not gonna work.
Come
it's
on,
not
bro,
work, man. If it was really that situation, I'd be crying. I'd be weeping right through the goddamn thing. I'm not gonna weep here.
All right,
and it's gonna come off as being fake. Under the circumstances, I could come up with something, but here I'm gonna fucking cry.
So if you know you're gonna cry, then why even bother with the page? It doesn't matter.
You're getting this whole fucking thing mixed. Like,
All right, give me another one. You're the one who said to your mother. All right, do another one.
Okay, here, mate. This could be if you're out with your girl.
Okay.
And you get a glass of wine before the dinner. Do you love me, or do you not? You told me once, but I forgot. Nothing. I mean,
my goodness.
These are...
That's like, I mean... Isn't that what you say when you pick the daffodils off? She loves me not?
I don't know. Here's to love that begins with a fever and ends with a yawn. It's kind of funny. Hot.
Now I'm tired of you at the end?
Yeah, a little tired and you went to bed. It's like a joke. It's funny. I don't know, man. You're fucking up this whole...
What about, baby, when I laid eyes on you, you were the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. But now, there's a woman more beautiful than that woman I saw years ago. It's you, all over again. Holy shit, I'm so good. I just riff these. I just riff them.
That's pretty good.
That is great. I'm unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Listen, I want more toast, but you're already letting me know because there's no edits in this show today. So that you need to warm up mentally because later on in the show... I need you to do a prank call on my brother.
Okay.
So you don't have to cry, but you do have to act. All right? All right, one more toast you got.
One more toast.
No, as many more as you want.
Here's the, if we're all out, the buddies, gonna drink.
All right.
Here's to the...
Hold on, guys. Sebastian wants to say something. Right. Tony, come on. You can talk to her in a minute. All
right. Come on, Tony. All right. Listen, guys. Here's to the pictures on my desk. May they never meet.
Dude, seriously? That's pretty funny. You mean all the girls? You have pictures of girls on you? That's funny.
Okay.
That is funny, man.
We got one. Here's one. Guys out. My friends are the best friends. Loyal, willing, and able. Now let's get to drinking. All glasses off the table.
Oh! He than you nobody has, man.
Oh, shit. All right. Oh, so man. That's the toast.
Oh, boy. Fixing my... You see these pants, by the way?
What are they, the cargos?
They're like... They're very comfortable, but here's the deal, man. First of all, you wouldn't even do this at all, I know, going in, but one of the two gay guys who lives next door, right? Even though they have no bread, the money they do have, they get great fucking clothes. Sometimes too gay. Mm. But the one guy... gained weight, a lot of weight, and he's not going to take it off. It's like, whatever. Point is, he has a lot of jeans and shit he keeps passing my way. And at first I tell Jackie, I'm like, I don't know his fucking jeans. And she's like, they're really expensive and they're like brand new. This guy's like, so I got like 3 or 4 pair of his jeans that fit fucking great, man. I'm really digging them. But when I see him sometimes, if I'm wearing something, a pair of jeans he gave me, bro, do I need to even preface this? You know I have money. I can buy my own clothes. Don't give me that look. It's good shit. Everybody does it but you. So.
Wait a minute. You're saying everybody.
Do you ever go to a secondhand store? No. Everybody else does. They go to towns. Thrift shops are very popular. The clothing's expensive. It's good shit. You bring it home. You wash it. And you wear it.
Who's,
all right?
What kind of jeans? What kind of jeans? What are we talking? What's the brand on these? Do you know?
Well, put it this way. I don't always know brand. Like, I'd be like Joe, I think. I mean, but Jackie tells me, she's like, this is like $180 jeans.
Okay.
So, even what I'm wearing now. But the point is, when I see him, and I'm in his stuff, he'll say out loud in front of people around, oh, are those my pants? They look great on you. I'm like, what is, come on, come, what are you doing? You can't be bringing that shit up, right?
Well, I don't blame him. I blame you for wearing the pants.
I see. I don't even know why I bother. Even if we do that Travel Channel show, that'd be a good thing. I'd want to go to a secondhand store, and you got to buy your stuff so new, your clothes are probably still hot. They're still warm. They were just made.
I've never done that. I never wore somebody else's pants.
They're not somebody else's pants. I didn't break into his house and steal them. He no longer wants them. I took them. Washed them. They look great. They fit great. I'm digging them. Why wouldn't?
I don't know. Man, people do it. I'm not knocking it. Just it's something I don't do.
I'm thinking like I should be like, dude, can you not keep saying when I'm wearing fucking jeans you gave me? I mean, tone it down.
Then what's he gonna say?
He'll go. Lou, play the clip of him right now about taking care of the dog.
My dog will be in better hands than she is with y'all, and she'll be with her best friend, Bart.
That's exactly, he'll be like, oh, y'all make too much of it. You look great in my jeans. Like that, he'll do that.
Man, you live next door to that?
Temporarily. Oh. One more month to go. The boxes are packed. I'm gone. We gotta get out of this place.
Welcome back to the online class that uses Pete and Sebastian as educational lessons. Last week we learned embarrassing grammar from Pete.
But if you're going to, turn more and more into Stallone.
This week, Sebastian will teach us about Italian aggression. If you want to get by in this world, there are certain phrases you need to know. First of all, in regular English, the vowels are A, E, I, O, U. In Italian, they are different. Repeat after Sebastian.
Hey!
What?
Yeah!
If you start to sound like Tony Danza, you are doing it correctly. Speaking like an aggressive Italian can be useful. For example, when you enter a room, always announce your presence with authority.
Sebastian's here!
People will say, look at that happy Dago. Sorry, that was racist. Let's continue. If you're having a rough day, it is effective to say,
the week I had today.
Sebastian is implying that his day was so bad that it felt like a week. Please don't make me explain the greatest opening joke of all time. Fucking brilliant. class, you will see that this way of speaking gets results. Try some of these commands. Repeat after Sebastian.
Take a walk!
Get the fuck out of the building!
Sing the damn song!
Don't bother me with fence issues, okay?
Get the fuck off the porch!
You know what, All-Star Parking? Fuck you and your shuttle drivers. You could shove the dollar up your ass. I ain't coming back.
Even Dr. Ron can't rub the anger out. Remember, you don't always have to yell. Sometimes a smooth Italian whisper can be just as effective.
And this is the kicker.
He's got Orangina.
Really, only Sebastian can pull that off. Back to the screaming. Now, if you are on an airplane, and the old lady next to you is being pompous, you say,
"Shut the fuck up and sit down."
It's a real showstopper. Italian aggression is all about confidence, and Sebastian is the master.
Listen, guy, nobody fucking does this. Nobody does this.
This guy had dinner in my dressing room.
Would you mind?
This is why I don't let anybody into my life.
Woo! Like the Ric Flair shit? Oh, is JJ Watt your new friend now?
Oh, that's a nice touch.
Don't be shy. Try this way of speaking and see how it works for you in real life. Class dismissed. Now, get out there and be somebody. This has been a show within a show. DJ Lewitsky on Twitter. Sit down and shut the fuck up. Gets me every time.
In the great state of Iowa, some folks have a different method when it comes to dieting.
I'm excited to be here. Listen, man, I'll try not to curse a lot, but I'm Italian from New York. I use the F word like a comma. I don't need to curse.
Eat the burger, bro. It's getting cold. Eat it. You know you want to eat it.
the guy's burger is like this high, and it's perfectly waiting for him to eat it, and I go, eat your burger. And he goes, I will. And then he takes his big Iowan hand, and he just smushes the whole fucking burger.
Are you married, my man, or what?
Yeah.
Kids?
No.
No? You gonna have anything?
Woo-hoo!
I'm not. Is that for kids?
Don't have them.
Don't have them?
No, I said have them.
Oh, you said have them?
No, have them. That's what you guys said. I need a pair.
All right, one more time. What?
Adam.
Oh, you know her?
Yeah, I know her.
Bro, would it have killed you to lean over and go, "I'm fucking Adam," and she talked about it?
I mean, I'm sitting here like an asshole. Your name is Adam? Well, what the fuck, bro? I mean, Jesus.
I mean, if she had a hamburger in hand instead of looking for Adam, I'm sure you'd go, right here!
No, you didn't. I like that. You didn't address the name Adam because you're already going by PM.
He's like, who's this Adam you speak of?
I'm Panini Machine.
And reduce your risk of stroke
or heart attack.
Have your blood pressure checked.
A message from the American Heart Association.
I was at a hotel yesterday, and when I got back from the gig and I went to my hotel at night, Friday night, I was in Shelby, North Carolina, fun little show at a theater, it was really nice. But I get up to the second floor of my hotel, And I come out, as I'm coming down the hallway, it's loaded with boys and girls on a college, turned out to be like Erie State College. And they were all on the boys and girls Division III basketball team. And they were getting ice and hanging out. And they were in for the night, you know? So I go in, I go in my room, whatever. I come back out about 2 hours later to go get some ice and something to drink. A lot of making out. Three different areas of making out with these kids in the hallway. Right? Just sucking face because they got to share rooms. And I just started laughing because I can't remember the last time I sucked face with the wife in public. And I'm wondering, because you're not married and, you know, there's a lot of pet. Do you still do? Can you remember the last time you did a public makeout?
We do public kissing, you know, like a peck here, a peck there. But there's no full. There's no full blown lobby makeouts with, you know, I don't cradle her. Her head in my hand. Right. There's none of that going on.
No, I'm not saying you're doing that famous World War II photo with the sailor and the nurse, but I'm just saying, do you slip tongue in public?
Ever? No, there's no slipping tongue. Why? Are you doing this still?
No, I mean, I'll try from time to time, and my wife just gets it, like, she's like, what are you, fucking white trash? Get away from me. What are we two?
Yeah. So, where are you doing this?
I'm not. I've tried. What? Well,
it's like, where are you trying to slip tongue? You're 41 years old.
All right. 3 days ago, we were in a supermarket, and you know, especially being in this small town, I'm still amazed how it's empty all the time. We bang a left down an aisle, the frozen foods, and it was empty. So I looked over at her, and I grabbed her, and I went in, and I was like, let's make out. And I tried to make out, and she's like, let's not. Fucking white trash. Ew.
Are people still French kissing?
If they are, they're not calling it that. Jesus.
I mean, that was cool when you were 17. You know, that you get a little tongue going and people still doing it.
Of course. You don't make out. I mean, obviously, when you know, I wouldn't get too personal in the old Saccharoni, but then it goes a little further than lips, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But I mean, you're talking about, something 16-year-olds do in the middle of the grocery store.
Look, man, there are still some things you did at 16 that you do now, and I'm not saying the grocery store. Park bench, sun coming down, nobody in eyesight, you lean over. Little tongue just in and out, man. 3 seconds in, 3 seconds out, you know? Little touch.
How about a movie theater? Would you do it in a movie theater?
No, man. When I'm in a movie theater, it's all about fucking the movie, man.
Before the movie, you're sitting there, nobody's in the theater.
Then it's about the previews. Well, I read the posters on the way in, then I go in, I watch the previews, and I watch the movie. If the previews didn't start, I'm looking at my phone. There's no making out in the movie theater.
That was a big makeout place when you were 16.
Outdoor, summertime, beach.
Beach.
You ever make out at the beach? Come on, man. Your tongue jumps out of your mouth. The tongue just jumps out at the beach on its own. But I'm just saying, like, if you were somewhere alone with Lana outside in public and there was no one, like, within 30 or 40 yards and you leaned over and went to give her a peck, which obviously she'd be into, she always is, but then you tried to tongue it out, would she just roll with it or would she be like, what are you doing here?
I am going to do this tonight with her.
And I
want to see what the response is. Actually, I'm gonna do one better. I'm gonna try and slip her tongue when people are around. I want to see if she corresponds with.
Well,
that's
the whole point. What would be best if you could somehow catch her at a moment where you're next to her but she's occupied with something else? Then just take out your camera on your phone and give us a panoramic so we can see the radius of how close the closest person is. Then you can put the phone away and you can go in. Let us know how it played out. We'd like a aerial beforehand.
All right, I'll give you the situation and then and I'll go in for the kill. I want to see if she responds. She might pull away.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, does it make a woman more or less classy? Because my wife's like thinks it's a class thing. I think a little making out's kind of sexy at any age, right? Although when I see it by other people, I'm disgusted.
Well, yeah, when you see it, especially if you're in a line waiting to pay and the couple in front of you is doing a full blown makeout. That's a little weird, no?
I don't think I've ever seen people making out online at the store.
Oh, I've seen it a lot.
Really?
Oh, it's disgusting.
Don't tease me.
Awful lot of honkies in here.
This is the DJ Lou Show Within a Show, brought to you by Fling e-cigarettes. We know that everyone loves a good cry, so let's find out who's been weeping. Welcome to Who's Been Weeping. Steve Gleason was a football player. He played professionally for the New Orleans Saints. He will always be remembered for the time that he blocked a punt in the first home game after Hurricane Katrina. Electrified the crowd, made him a New Orleans hero forever. Steve Gleason contracted ALS and ended his football career, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease. He now has to speak through a computer by using only his eyes. But those eyes are not wet. He's not the one who's been weeping. As it turns out, Steve is a huge Pearl Jam fan, and he got to interview lead singer Eddie Vedder. All right, get a tissue box ready. Let's listen.
I have my son Rivers.
Steve has a robot voice, so I might have to translate for him. And Eddie mumbles, I might have to translate for him too.
I have my son Rivers. I am assembling a video journal library for him in case the experts are right about my timeline. You did not know your dad. What are a couple things you wish you knew about him?
It's a great question, and coming from you, I couldn't appreciate it more. Of course, I think just deep down, I just would have wanted to know just, you know, if he loved me and how much, you know. The other nice thing would have been some insight of and you know, what it would be like to grow up and, you know, be a man, a good man. And I feel like I had to, you know, figure that stuff out on my own, and a few guidelines would have helped.
Then came a revelation that perhaps only Steve Gleason could have elicited. Ed's now deceased father, he told Steve, had himself been a singer.
I ended up with 4 songs of him singing. Yep. And I just heard him for the first time last month.
Really?
Yeah. But the cool thing was, Steve, is he was good. So I was really proud of him. And, you know, I wish he was around now, and I'd like to think he'd be proud of me, and now I get to be proud of him, which is a real cool thing.
Thanks, man.
I knew this was gonna come in handy for something, but I didn't know what. Steve Gleason sitting in for Barbara Walters this week.
If you can see the video, he's wiping his tears with a Pearl Jam wristband. Oh my God, what a fucking guy. If you guessed Eddie Vedder, you've won Who's Been Weeping? So what? He never met his father. Now he has a tape of his dad singing. He's a singer. That's tear worthy. Why is that not tear worthy? Who has a problem with this? Not Sebastian.
When your girl cries,
yeah.
Do you cry?
No, I usually go, don't cry, it's all right, it's all right. That's not the time to join in, that's the time to comfort.
Yeah, no, I see it. I see,
an invitation.
I see a cry, I'm like, oh, this is fantastic, let me hop in on this.
Yeah, Sebastian's been a prolific weeper for years now. Corielli can't make fun of this either.
I would never drive this U-Haul back up this hill.
5 minutes later, I'm driving it back up the hill because I have no other choice. And I'm doing one of these man cries where as I'm going up the hill, I'm going. You know, no liquid, but pure like.
Yeah, man crying. Pretty manly, Pete.
Jimmy from Boston is going to have a problem with me playing Eddie Vedder crying. I got a clip for you, Jimbo. Let's take it back to 2008, when Tom Brady was interviewed for ESPN. He starts crying, talking about the time he was drafted to become a professional football player. Oh, he got drafted in the sixth round instead of the first round. Let me go walk around the block with my parents and weep.
And it was hard. I remember taking a walk with my dad and mom around the block. It was just a tough day, you know? I just remember being there with my mom and dad.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck.
Sorry about that. You know, they just were so supportive of me. And they take it as emotional as I do. You know, finally when the Patriots called, I was so excited. You know, I was like, I don't have to be an insurance salesman, you know? So my family was there. We were all excited. And thank God I got picked here.
What a goddamn fucking pussy. This has been Who's Been Weeping, brought to you by Fling Electronic Cigarettes. Now back to the Pete and Sebastian Show.
And now, Sleeping with Sebastian. While on the road, Sebastian reviews the hotel he's staying in. Because on the Pete and Sebastian Show, we care about the weary traveler.
Went to Miami this weekend. Now you're probably thinking, wow, Miami, South Beach, women, ass, dancing out till 6 in the morning. Yeah, maybe 20 years ago, people. But now I'm looking for a nice, quiet hotel off the beaten path where I could come home after my show, watch a Netflix, maybe a little Homeland, and go right to bed. And the Sonesta Hotel provided me with that. It's in the Coconut Grove, which is a 20-minute drive from South Beach if you want that type of atmosphere. But the location was really nice. Also, my room had a kitchen, which I like, just in case you want to cook maybe some eggs and bacon in the morning. And the thing that put it over the top for me, which I haven't seen in any hotel in the world, was a lamp that went off underneath the bed, and it was on a motion detector. So if you got out of the bed in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, as soon as your foot hit the floor, hello, we have a light that goes on that beams across the floor, guiding you to the bathroom. I thought that was the nicest effect I've ever seen in a hotel, and that's what brings me to 4.5 out of 5 stars. The Sonesta is a beautiful little retreat off the beaten path. Highly recommend it. The staff is exceptional, and I have to tell you, Maria, the housekeeper over there, what a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Gracias.
The way she made a bed with the presidential tuck, everything tight. That's how I like it when I come home. You get into a nice, well-made bed. It makes your sleep tremendous. I want to wish everybody a fantastic week. Check out the Sonesta if you're ever in Miami. Until next time, take care.
You know you should get out there and run.
but you don't have your song list set up because you haven't run all winter, right? On the Pete and Sebastian Show, we have each created a little song list for you. Put these five songs in your iPod. When that day hits, all you gotta do is lace up the kicks and kick it. We got you covered. My first choice. You gotta start out with a great song. Otherwise, you may bail before you even get going. That's why I choose Marshall Tucker Band, Can't You See? Oh, Can't You See? Listen to these lyrics. Is there a better way to kick off a fucking run? Right here. Gonna take a freight train. Where? Where am I taking it?
Down at the station.
Oh, yeah. I don't care where it goes. That's what I'm saying. That's what my run is about. I don't care where it takes me. Listen to this song. The sun's coming down. You're in a slow jog. Listen, I appreciate this. I don't know what Sebastian's going to hit you with after this. Probably same kind of music you listen to when you're shopping at Banana Republic. My second choice. A song a lot of you might not have heard of. It's called Treetop Flyer, Stephen Stills. Listen to that voice. That growling low whisper. I am in a groove now.
Don't pay taxes, cause I never file.
I pay taxes. How cool is that, not paying taxes? I pay them, and I got audited 2 years ago. I had to pay $11,000. Fucking government.
Love my aeroplane, cause she's got style. I'm a treetop flyer.
Oh man, I'm running now. Got that sweat coming down both sides. Everything's loosened up. I'm like the Tin Man after they oiled me. My next song. Listen to that heavy drumming. That Soundgarden, Chris Cornell. Day I tried to live. What'd you do? You woke the same? He woke as any other day. The voice was in his head. What did that voice say, Cornell? Listen to this, man. You're running. Seize the day. Pull the trigger. Drop the blade. And it is about suicide, but it could be about running too.
The day I tried to live,
I am running now. God damn. By the way, I met Chris Cornell once. I interviewed him. Oh my God. Fucking, I am straight as straight can be, but that guy is ridiculously handsome. Anyway, we are running now. Two of our songs are five, the other one is seven. After the end of this song, you're only three songs in and 17 minutes into your run. Fuck the trainer, baby. Listen to me.
One more time around.
My number four song. I can't even go into it just yet. Because sometimes you can't understand what this guy's saying. It's Elton John from Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album. A song called Dirty Little Girl. Anyone has a woman in their life that scorned them. Maybe you got a boss who's a female and you can't say what you want to say sometimes. This song, when you're tiring out and you're getting done with your run, you don't want to do another step, it comes on, reminds you of that woman that drove you nuts, and it just gives you new life. Lou, kick it. I should tell. That's what he's saying. I should tell. I should tell. Man. I'm gonna
tell the world. You're a dirty little girl.
Tell him, Elton. Tell him. What should we do with this broad?
Someone grab that bitch by the ears.
Gotta clean this broad up. I'm running.
Rub her down.
I'm jogging. Scrub her back. I'm sweating.
Turn her inside out.
Yeah.
Cause I bet she.
Fucking hey. Are you running with me?
I bet she.
We're running.
We're running. We're 4 miles in.
I bet she.
I bet she. You ready? Hasn't had a bath now in years.
Fucking A. Song number four. Dirty Little Girl, Elton John. We're on cruise control now, baby. Cruise control. We just had a beautiful 5 mile run. And now we are running off into the sunset. Like a cowboy leaving town. So tonight, you enjoy that extra beer. You eat that ice cream. You have that giant piece of steak. Because you earned everything coming your way. Enjoy. That was Pete Corielli's Song List for You.
Hello, listeners. This is Casey Kasem, and you're listening to The Pete and Sebastian Show, two of the funniest guys out of Los Angeles, California. Now, actually, I'm not sure if it's in L.A. or another part of California.
And it's actually a show, not a podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a show, not a podcast. Excuse me for not making that fucking discrimination. After 35 years in this business, I think I know what format is what. And if you interrupt me again, I'm going to have your goddamn job. Okay? And no, I won't take it again. I'm Casey fucking Kasem, and I don't do multiple takes. I'm out of here.
And now, Sebastian's five-song Indian Summer song list.
It's 7 a.m. I'm out on my driveway. I got my earbuds on. Right away, I put on Take You Back, the Street Corner version song from Rocky. Artist is Valentine. Bunch of guys on the corner singing. While I stretch out my calves, my quads, I snap my neck to the left, to the right. Do a couple windmills with my right arm, then with my left. This is my stretching ritual before I go on my 4.5 mile jog through the streets of Los Angeles.
He'll knock you into tomorrow, Rock.
I ease into the next song, which is Fanfare from the Rocky album. Artist is Bill Conti. It's a nice trumpet, gets you going. You could actually run to the rhythm of the music. You could just feel it. Right, left, right, left. It's a nice pace. This is the song I have on for about a good, I don't know, mile and a half. Keep putting it on repeat. Gets my heart going, gets the blood moving, gets me ready for what's to come.
What are we waiting for?
Now I'm going into Going the Distance, another Bill Conti tune. My body's starting to warm up. I have a bead of sweat dripping off the top of my forehead. I'm just thinking about things. I'm thinking about stand-up. I'm thinking about getting married. There's a lot of things going through my head as I'm in stride. I'm doing about a 9.5 minute mile at this point. I'm focused. I'm ready. Give me it. Give me what I need.
Because you had the talent to become a good fighter, and instead of that, you became a leg breaker to some cheap second-rate loan shark.
It's a living?
It's a waste of life.
Now, Gonna Fly Now, the theme from Rocky, is in full swing. I'm actually sprinting. I'm sweating. Everything is feeling fantastic. All the negative energy is coming out of my body. I'm in the home stretch. I could see my house in the distance. I'm focused. I might have my shirt rolled up because I'm sweating so much. Gonna Fly Now is gonna get me home.
Get up, you son of a bitch! Mr. Mickey loves you.
My cool down. I pop in Alone in the Ring, another Bill Conti song from the original Rocky soundtrack. I'm walking home. I might have taken my shirt off. I'm reflecting on the run. I'm reflecting on how good I feel. It's a positive experience. And this is my Rocky playlist, the one I use when I knock out 4.5 miles in the streets of L.A.
I said that before, you dumb dago!
Let me tell you about this Pueblo, Colorado gig. By the way, you want to do this thing?
Yeah, of course.
Sons of Italy.
Thank you, man. Thank you. But you said there's kids in the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem working clean, but clean, dirty, a kid is not going to like my story about, you know, my ice cream and my wife trying to prevent me from having it. You know what I mean? It's like...
No. I mean, you could do your material. Just don't, just don't go blue with it because there's, like, you know, teenagers in the crowd. It's like a high school type of thing.
Oh, all right.
But the majority is all adults. Anyway, on my way there, I was in Pueblo, Colorado, and I had to take a connecting flight through Denver. Now, the morning started off just really weird. I drove to the airport. My parking lot that I normally park at was full. I had to pull a Pete, and I parked at the airport, which you did, remember?
Yes.
I did the same thing, and I'm sweating. I'm thinking, I don't even know how much this is going to cost, but I'm leaving it because I'm in a rush. So I go. It was one of these things where, you know, the check-in didn't work really smooth. Nothing was, like, I don't know if you've ever checked in and that damn kiosk is not working and you got to wait for the one employee that they got behind the thing. One person.
You were frazzled. Yeah. The whole morning was frazzled.
Frazzled morning. It just, I had a cloud of negativity over my head. So I get to the gate. We get on. Sitting in an exit row, and
is this
20 minutes before the plane lands.
Are you on your way to Pueblo or on your way to Denver at this point?
I'm on the way to Denver from L.A.
Okay, 20 minutes before you land.
I hear a splat like someone threw paint against the wall.
What?
I have my headphones on. I'm listening to music, but I hear that through the headphone. And I look in front of me, the guy in front of me projectile vomited all over the seat in front of him and the guy's head.
Oh my God, dude.
I'm like, what the fuck? Now, I don't know about you, when you see that, I have like a gag, you know, like I start to gag.
Yeah, Jack, my wife is like that. She can't see it. She makes her puke.
Yeah, so.
Did it smell yet?
Well, it didn't hit. The smell didn't hit. I'm trying to figure out, did this guy just vomit all over the seat? And the guy in front of him got up, and he's taking like meatball out of
it. Oh my God, no way, dude. Is he flipping? What the fuck?
Everybody's like knows what happens, but nobody's really saying anything. Everybody's
it's
like
shock, right?
Shocked that this guy didn't even have the time. Now, but the guy's continuing to throw up in his lap.
Oh my! Oh, dude, I'm getting goosebumps. This is disgusting.
Now the smell kicks in. This is where I'm like, hey, come on, you know.
All right, hold on. How old does this guy seem to be? Is he in a suit? What are we talking?
We're talking 50s in a, looks like a businessman, has Bose headset on.
Uh-huh. Oh, man, this is just a scary medical situation. Right? A man in a business suit. This is like, and he couldn't get up?
There was no turbulence. We were on the descent, but there was nothing where it would elicit this type of motion. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a flu, but the guy's uncontrollably throwing up.
No attempt to grab his bag, his puke bag?
I saw a guy next to him by the window because he had an empty seat in between him and the guy in the window. The guy slowly gives him a bag.
Like, here, you fucking dummy, what are you doing? I puked in one of those on a plane once next to a guy, but, you know, no harm, no foul, man. Thank God for the bag. So keep going with this.
So the guy in front of him moves to another seat, and he's toweling himself off. He's trying to wipe himself off. His jacket's full of bits.
Which guy? The guy who's in front of him?
Yeah.
Is he yelling? Is he like, dude, what the?
No. No, everybody just like everybody's looking. What do you do? What do you the guy's throwing up? What are you gonna do? Yell at him? I mean, I don't know what to do in this situation. You don't yell at the guy. The guy's sick. I don't know.
Yeah, but you go. What are you, 10? Are you fucking 10? You didn't feel this coming? Go to the bathroom. What are you doing? Jesus. No, this is like the behavior of a 10-year-old. Everybody has a good 10-second window at the very least to grab the bag and then run to the bathroom. I mean, you're jacking in this guy's neck? Come on. That's disgusting.
So you're telling me you have enough warning before you vomit to take the correct precautions? Bag, yeah. Bathroom.
To the point where if I got hit in the back of the head, as I'm wiping it out of the back of my head, the whole time I'm wiping with one hand, I'd be looking at him yelling, "What the fuck is wrong with you? What are you, fucking 10? Jesus, look at my fucking back. Go to the fuck. You're still puking. Go to the fucking bathroom. God, fuck." Absolutely. No, there's no. Oh, are you okay? Give him room. Can we get a towel? No, none of that. Get the fuck go to the bathroom. Disgusting. I can't believe the guy didn't start doing that. Did he ever get to a point where he got angry? Like what?
No,
right, what happened now? Keep going.
Nobody's angry.
Unbelievable.
I'm angry cuz I'm smelling this thing So, the woman across from him gives him a BevNap to wipe. Nobody's got any. Nobody's even thinking about ringing the flight attendant, which is shocking. As I reflect on the story, nobody even thought to ring the flight attendant. So BevNap. Now, I feel like I got to step in here somehow. And this is where my wet naps come in handy. I give the woman across from him my bag of my Clorox bleach wiping unit. Give it to her to give to him.
The whole unit, man. The whole thing.
Take the whole thing. So this guy takes one or two, gives it back to the woman, and then the woman gives it back to me. I said, keep the thing.
Superman, a strange visitor from a distant planet, champion of the oppressed, who has sworn to devote his existence on Earth to helping those in need.
Is this guy slow? I mean, to put it mildly. I mean, he pukes all over himself, pukes all over the guy in front of him, and then he takes two wet naps thinking that's going to take care of the job. I mean, what's with this guy?
Two wet naps. And then he starts toweling down the seat in front of him with the wet naps, and then he starts toweling down himself and whatnot, and he's sitting there with his hands in his head. And we land, and he's just sitting in his own vomit. Nobody comes to help this guy. On the way out, the guy in front of me said, "Listen, somebody threw up in 21A to the flight attendant on the way out," and that was the end of that. You're telling me you would have chastised this guy for throwing up on the plane? There's no sympathy, nothing coming out of you.
No. I would have definitely did what I said I would have did, but now you're telling me and explaining to me this sad scene at the end, I would definitely walk past this guy sitting in his own puke, all dirty and sick, and I would feel a little bad that I motherfucked him earlier. I wouldn't help him still, because now medical people will be coming on and they can help him. On some level, I still think you got a 10-second window, but I'd feel bad because obviously it seems like this guy just was in a bad way.
Something happened. Something, I don't know.
Still, man, bro, completely fucking unacceptable to puke on another man's head, man. Completely unacceptable.
I was shocked that it came out of his mouth from a 90-degree angle and flew that far out of his mouth where the whole seat looked like somebody splattered paint on it. So I've never seen anything like that in my life. And I don't know why these things happen near me. Constantly happening around me. So I get on this plane to go to Pueblo. It's one of these puddle jumpers, a seat on each side of the plane. You know, we get on the plane, it, you know, they tell us, move to the back, even out the weight.
Yep, yep.
Get into Pueblo. I was tired. I took a nap. Now, Pueblo, Colorado is very, I don't know, desolate. It's kind of just kind of a, one of these weird towns. I walk over to the convenience store across the street to get some gum and water, and I'm on my cell phone while I'm in the store. So I'm kind of walking around the store talking on the phone at the same time because I don't want to get what I need to get while I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
5 minute phone call. I hang up, I get my Gatorade, my gum, I put it up on the counter, and the woman goes to me, she's probably about 20. She goes, you want to take the batteries out of your pocket? I said, I'm sorry. She says, the batteries that you took, do you want to take those out of your pocket now? I said, listen, you got the wrong guy. I said, I didn't take no batteries. What are you talking about? And now at this point, I'm starting to pull out my pockets. I go, what battery? What you stole batteries. Do you want... Now I took my jacket off, and I'm getting hot.
Holy shit, dude.
I said, are you accusing me of stealing? Yes, sir. We do have you on tape.
What?
And she takes my Gatorade and my gum, and she takes it away and puts it behind her. I said, you're not going to sell me the stuff? Sorry. We have you on tape stealing batteries. Now, at this point, I feel like I'm getting set up. Like something's going to happen. Someone's going to come from behind me. I don't know what's going on. It's one of these places where the place is called the Jug and Loaf. It's not even called the 7-Eleven. This is like an offbeat convenience store. It's right off the highway. Everybody in there looks like they're on methamphetamine.
Okay.
And I got a leather jacket on. I got full growth on the beard. I got my boots, my jeans. You know, just I look like, I don't know, not normal, but I look like me.
What do you mean you got full growth on the beard? You weren't clean shaven?
No.
What? I don't think I've ever seen you. You're always clean shaven.
I had about 10 days growth.
What? That's unheard of for you.
Give me a new look. So.
Wow, man.
I go, fuck you, fuck your place. I walk out.
Fuck the Jug and Loaf.
Fuck the J&L.
This is crazy, man.
I walk out. I'm hot. I'm very angry. But I felt like at the time, I felt like something was going to happen where, like, if I called the police were in. I don't know. I was going. There was like a lot of things. I just wanted to remove myself from the situation. So I go back to my hotel. I call the Sons of Italy, the guy who is organizing this thing. His name's Gino. I said, Gino, listen, I had a problem over at the Jug and Loaf. They accused me of stealing, and this guy flipped out. Why? Stealing? Oh, what did you want? Let me send somebody over there. I'll get you what you wanted. So sends one of his guys to get it. Guy comes back, really nice guy. Looks like Sammy the Bull. And he goes, I got you what you wanted. Here you go. I said, yeah, they accused me of stealing. He goes, what? Stealing? He goes, what? In there? I go, yeah. He goes, hey, man, you don't go in there. It's like a place is getting held up every other week. A lot of illegal immigrants go in there and steal stuff. It's like this Highway 25 is a route where the illegals come in and out, and they go in there and they steal stuff left and right. He goes, I feel bad that they did that to you. I feel personally responsible that you come to our town and you get accused of stealing. I'm going to go over there. I go, take it easy, guy. We don't need to. Don't go over there. I'll go over there. I go, don't bother. So he leaves. I go to my hotel room, get a knock on the door 15 minutes later. I went over there. They're going to come over here and apologize to you personally. I go, listen, guy, we don't need that to happen, all right? I just want to put it behind me. I don't want any apology, nothing like that. He goes, I went in there and I asked them, did you have a gentleman in here that you refused to sell? Yes, we did. He looked very, very suspicious. He goes, let me see the tape. I want to see the tape where you caught him stealing the batteries. So they showed him the tape. Didn't show anything me stealing. They're just walking around the place and they felt very bad. And they were going to come over and give me an apology, which I said, I'm fine with it. Don't worry about it. So I did the show, and, you know, of course, I tell my mother this. I call my mother before the show, and she's like, get the fuck out of there. Just come home.
Your mother acts like you're in goddamn North Korea. It's Pueblo, Mom. It was the jug and loaf. I got this.
You know, I got an honorary Sons of Italy membership card that only two people have, one of them being Frankie Valli. And I came home. But, which leads me to the question, and it's a little segment I think I'm going to start. It's called Would You Would've. Would You Would've asked to see the tape at the 7-Eleven? Because I think when you're put in these types of situations, for example, the throw up, this type of stuff, I think you have a very quick switch for anger.
For eye for an eye.
Yeah, I was wondering as I walked out, what would Pete do in this situation? Would you have asked to see you stealing?
Oh, forget it. There's no way I would have left that place until I would have got my apology before, because I would have said, if I got batteries, why aren't you calling the cops? Call the cops. Call the cops and show them the tape. Call the cops and why don't you just leave, sir? No, why would I fucking leave, man? This is ridiculous. I come in here to get some at your dump. I mean, this place is a dump. The only reason I'm in here is because I don't have a fucking vehicle. Let's not forget that, honey. You know, and then we go from there. Look, dude, I'll be honest. I got one I wanted to tell you. So I'm out here at the Ontario Improv, which is, you know, as you know, about an hour away from L.A. And I got a rental car because I had to go into L.A. for a day. So I get my rental car at the Ontario Airport, and I'm driving to the hotel to check in, right? Nice Hilton, and I'm pulling in. I'm going to make a right into the Hilton, and I'm not sure where the right is. I'm looking for the driveway. Now, a woman is coming the other way, and she's going to make a left into the hotel. But she's already halfway into the road, so I'm going even slower because I'm going to let her go in, and then I'll come in behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's got a phone in one hand, and she starts doing that with her other hand, like waving me to go. She's like, go, 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 go. But I'm not sure where the driveway is. I'm coming in slow and I'm looking for it. And she's going, go, go, go. And then I'm like, oh, okay. So as I go to turn in, then she looks up and she just gives me a hard finger. She's like, fucking flashes me the finger like that. And I'm like, the fuck is this lady's problem? So now I pull into the hotel, and as fast as I can, I eyeball her car, and I watch where she goes to park. I watch. She's one of these, you know, housewives of Beverly Hills type, man, hair all done up, nice car, rich, fucking entitled. And I see, and she parks far. She's all the way down to the other end. She's still yapping away on her cell phone. I get all my shit. I'm like, I might have left some stuff in my car. I didn't even care because I wanted to make sure I got out quick enough. I get all my shit. As I'm walking, I walk over to her car, and she's still on her phone. She doesn't see me. And then I tap lightly on her window. I go, excuse me. And she already forgot about me, you know?
Yeah.
So she doesn't know who's tapping. So she looks up at a window, and I put my middle finger right up to her glass. I'm like, bam, right back at you. And I just fucking give her a hard finger. And then I go in, right? And that's it. And she's like startled. And then as I go in, though, I hear her. She gets out, and she's like, does the gas pedal not work on your little red car? Because I had a tiny economy car and it was red. And I go, what? And she goes, I'm just saying. I look back at her and she goes, does the gas pedal not work on that little red car? I'm like, this fucking bitch. I go, give it a rest, pretentious bitch. That's what I said to her. Now it's getting ugly. Now I'm getting out of my comfort zone. I like to be in and out with my words.
Yeah.
So you, I leave her.
Well, you threw her the old give it a rest again. That's your favorite line.
I know, but it wasn't working on her. That little red car. So I get online at the front desk, and I'm stewing, man. I'm stewing. I mean, I called it a B word. It's classless. It's classless.
Yeah.
So now I'm online, and I'm checking in, and who ends up online behind me but my new best friend, right? Now she's behind me. And as soon as I get my key, as I'm getting my key and I'm about to leave, she walks over, and she's just about to start to check in with the guy. And I look over at the guy behind the counter, and I go, why don't you give her a room on the fifth floor with a balcony? Maybe she'll do us all a favor. And I just keep walking.
Did you
and she say, looks at the...
Did you say it loud enough so she could hear it?
Oh, yeah. I said it right there to her. And she looked over at the guy behind the counter, and she and I hear her say to him, he can't deal with West Coast drivers. He doesn't like me. He's not my friend. He's not my friend. Oh, I hear her keep saying that. And I'm like, oh, my God.
But what do you get out of doing? I mean, you can't just leave it alone. You can't just, you know, you got to go with the finger. You got to go. You got to get the last stab.
No, that one got out of hand. It got out of hand. I'm not going to lie to you. That was not one of my finer moments. I mean, the finger alone was fine, and I should have left it at that. But, you know, it got ugly. It got ugly.
You sick son of a bitch.
The show has ended.
Nobody's going to allow themselves to be shaken down by a fucking guy with a name like that. Oh, shit. Here he comes. You better pay up. It's the fridge fucker. It just wouldn't happen. So let's just thank baby Jesus that you're funny, huh, kid? Later.